Hello, and welcome to Pinecones and Moonstones, where science, witchcraft, and history combine. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Desiree.
And we're back, kind of.
And recording properly.
Yeah, we got Audacity fixed on my MacBook after an entire day of fighting with code.
I just had to download the link you gave me, so I guess I got off easy.
I know, right? I'm like, fingers crossed, because we also have Mercury retrograde happening right now.
Yeah, that's... That needs to be... We always seem to do the Mercury retrograde episodes, like, too late for helping anybody, including ourselves,
I think. We have the one, like...
Yeah, I know, worked. But I think we put it out late. I'm sure we had plenty of goals.
It was in the middle.
Summer. Was it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was in the middle of it. It's fine.
That's acceptable,
I mean, they last
then.
For like a month. So,
well, do you want to update what you've been doing on our inadvertent hiatus that we ended up taking?
Virtual school sucks ass. I'm sure many people listening also agree. But when you're simultaneously the TA for one part of that, and then the student for the rest of it, it really fucking sucks. And it takes a million fucking hours. I like to say fuck a lot. That's basically all I've been doing since March, saying fuck a lot. I worked in a weed factory all summer, and that had insane hours, so we couldn't record. And then just virtual school. Like, I'm doing my own stuff, I suppose. Like, there are witchy things thrown in, but it's mostly trying to keep kids from panicking because, you know, pandemic, and they still have to do school. What have you been doing?
You're fine. I have been working. That's basically full-time working. And then kids' school, like you said, that's...
It takes so long.
It's almost like they have more homework. I don't know.
Very, very much.
More homework, and then but the classes are shorter on there, and then the teachers are like, they get upset when they think the kids aren't paying attention, but you've got the computer issues, headphone issues, Wi-Fi issues. You know, you plug your cord in funky and it squeaks weird, and then you've got to fix it, and then like, if they're not staring at the computer every 5 seconds, it's, you know, why aren't you paying attention? And then I get emails.
Yeah, that's taking it a little far. Like, I'm in a bunch of academic Twitter groups and, like, Facebook groups and stuff, and it's, like, the shit that they want you to download on your computers for exams, where it, like, tracks your eyeball movements and stuff. Like, my ADHD ass would have gotten failed in undergrad if I had to do this shit, because, like, I cannot stare at my screen that long. I will, one, get a migraine, and two, like, completely zone out and forget what year it is, because it does not hold my attention.
That's
so, but if they, like, move their head away, then it registers as they're cheating, because they could be looking at a book, and I'm like, I would be looking out a fucking window, like, excuse you, you don't need to know where my eyeballs are.
Well, my kids got in trouble for being in the same room to do their school stuff. But we set up so they each have a desk and their bed is between them, but that's like where the best Wi-Fi in the house is. So the
also,
teachers...
Also, like, what are you supposed to fucking do? Build a new room in your goddamn house?
They were saying it was being like... distracting, which, yeah, you got two kids in a room, and then the cat, well, she knows how to open the door and get in and then, like, lay on their keyboard. So I try to keep her out of there. But even with just the two of them, yeah, they talk sometimes. It's the same as, like, class, but... That's the best Wi-Fi section up there. So then I have to bring one down here, and then it's, you know, the computer freezes, and it's just
that's
a big hassle.
So fucking...
And they all want to go back to school, so they have to deal with that. They're sad, and there's no picture day, there's no school events, or, like, they did a, what do you call it, school council planning meeting that Marley's on, and it was basically just a list of Zoom ideas that they could do. Like, themed Zooms.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's what you gotta do to stay safe, though, because this shit is not...
No, I agree.
...something people want. But it's, like, the teachers getting angsty about it are super frustrating, because all of my friends who are elementary and middle school teachers are, like, trying to go above and beyond to be there for parents and teachers at all fucking hours and, like, are not caring about that shit. And then you hear the horror stories of the teachers who are, like, basically trying to build police state panopticons into the computer to watch the kids and, like, are yelling at parents about stupid shit like that. Like, sorry, my cat lives in this house. Like, you know what I mean?
Ugh. Well, and like, I don't work from so home mad. All the time, so I can't, like, I can't, you can't police, like, watch them. No. But I also, how am I supposed to tell their teachers that? Well, sorry, I have to be at work. Anyway.
I feel like this is just a metaphor of how the pandemic is going too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine that's being not in college how that works. Right now.
Oh, it's a fucking nightmare. Like we're going back to full virtual, which my shit has all been full virtual, but we've had some hybrid classes where like half the kids show up in person and half are online. And we're going back to full virtual after Thanksgiving break. So they let them have some of the classes speed up if they were hybrid so they can just be done by the end of November completely instead of having like another month to finish their shit at the like end-ish of December. And it's like, that's a nightmare and a half because now all of their other deadlines have been pushed up. So we have more than half the class that has at least one, if not 2 to 3 projects due every week between now and the end of November.
That's a lot.
And I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know how they're holding it together as well as they are because I would be a fucking mess. So it's just, it's a nightmare and a half. Like, and they're going to be fully virtual next semester, but they're going to open the dorms. But the way they worded it was sketchy as fuck. So then a bunch of kids were afraid, like, they wouldn't have anywhere to go next semester. Because we have a lot of homeless kids
mm-hmm.
who are going, like, they live in the dorms all the time. And if they close the dorms, then they have nowhere to live or internet or anything.
Most of the schools out here close the dorms. Except for the big, like, UW and...
Well, yeah, we're big like that. Like, we have, I think, 25,000 students total? Something like that. But they're closing the dorms unless you have nowhere to go after Thanksgiving break. So that way, if people travel, like, they're not bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pushed the beginning of next semester back a week and canceled spring break. Because it's all going to be online.
They should and still then they're do opening spring break. The dorms.
Nope. But see, that's what I... Like, we need a break. But they're thinking, because it's virtual, there's really no reason. And I'm like, because it's virtual, they're also expecting professors and TAs, which it's mostly the TAs, to be available all the fucking time. And my department keeps scheduling, like, at least one meeting every day. Like, 2 weeks ago... I was on Zoom for 7 hours a day, every day, for, like, 8 days in a row.
That's too much.
And it's, like, it's too much for me to be interacting with people that long, because normally we would not have this many meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a camera on in my house, like, just looking into my house for 7 hours a day. So if Mark doesn't want to be on the camera, then that's half the house he can't use.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already stuck in here all the time because of... quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's just like, hey, you get a room instead of a whole apartment for 7 hours a day for 8 days in a row. Like, it's just I hate everything.
That's the theme of 2020. I hate everything.
I feel like that's good for the emperor year though.
You is know? That what this one was, the emperor year?
Yeah, it's the emperor and next year's the hierophant. I feel like this year's the tower and the emperor. Like, we're the tower that we're burning down is the emperor, if that makes sense. Like, all of the structures and systems are just, like...
Down with the patriarchy.
Down with all of it.
I agree.
All of it can just fucking... I'm done.
I don't even remember when the last time we recorded was.
I feel like it was March or April. It was before I started working, and I started working in May. Because we did that, like, self-help kit, like, self-care and self-help tips with witchcraft and, like, pandemic stress. Because I feel like at that point we thought people would be on board with, like, let's just wear masks and get it over with like the rest of the world. And it's turned into, they're saying we're on a third wave, but it's like, did we ever really get over the first wave? Because people are fucking dumb.
Yeah, they are.
Also, like, I'm not sorry. If you are listening to this show and you're somehow a Republican and you still listen to us from the beginning, that's a trip for you, I feel like. But also, if you're not wearing a mask, you're fucking stupid. That's how I feel.
At the very least, even just to be part of a polite society, I don't know. I don't understand how people freak out so much about it. I really, really, really don't.
Because they listen to a fucking Cheeto.
I don't even think that's only
constantly.
It.
Constantly. No, that's pretty much, like, there was no real pushback against it until he started doing it.
Oh, here there definitely was, because we were one of the first places to institute the mandate for going anywhere with the masks. And there was still a ton of pushback. Like,
he started doing it when they started wearing them in Europe, though, like before it was even really an outbreak here. Like, he's been making fun of it and saying it's a fake virus since we've got the first reports in November and January. Even though he knew that it was not fake and he knew that it was going to be really, really serious and has admitted both of those things. He even fucking got it himself. He's been, making fun of it.
I've been following the news, and, you know, I see all, it's funny because my husband and I both have you on our Facebook, and sometimes Blaine will come home and be like, your friend Cassie posts some really funny stuff. And I'm like, oh, I haven't even seen what she put up today, but sometimes he'll just go off on a tangent based on what you've been posting and then, like, come show me later.
I'm glad that someone else at least finds it amusing, because most of that shit is very, very, very obnoxiously targeted at my brother, who is still a Trump supporter.
I have seen those, and I have to just say that I enjoy seeing other people's tea, not mine, not having to deal with it, so I just kind of go along for the ride through the whole conversation. But,
if anybody wants to see someone get completely and fully just, like, talked down to
politically demolished,
being an idiot, yeah, just find my Facebook page off of our group page and look for any post that tags Jeremy, because that's my brother, and I'm a bitch to him about his lack of willingness to admit that even his own situation has been made significantly worse by this administration. And when he's asked point blank about it, he just changes the subject and refuses to answer, which tells me all I need to know. But, yeah.
I am so ready for this time period to be over. Like, I'm just... You know what I mean? I'm ready for the shift change happening for next year. And it's going to happen. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I have complete faith in this. There will be a change, and it can only get better from here. It really can only get better from here.
See, I am in a materiality and power seminar this semester. So my brain is just like, just because we get Trump out doesn't mean we get the system out, and the system is the problem. And so
but that's such a big portion just right there that I would feel just immediately so much better as soon as that was gone. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes,
a blister.
And no. Like, part of me is going to be so relieved because I can just, like, basically use it as an example of how badly they fucking failed when anyone tries to bring it up again. You know what I mean? Like, I can just push it down to the point where no one ever talks about it around me again, and I never have to deal with it. But at the same time, like, it just exposed just how many problems there are with everything in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything. All of it. Like, my descent into liberalism went from, you know, I can't vote for this racist asshole, into a full throttle anarcho-communist, like, mutual aid and burn everything down feeling.
I know, like, I've watched it. It's been...
I went from just being kind of like, beautiful. Yeah, I'm not gonna vote for this guy in 2016, you know, and being like, he's saying some really bad shit, guys, to, like, full on, I hate everyone. So, I feel like part of me is just gonna continue being angry about it, which is good. We need to be angry about it and, like, continue trying to push for these changes when someone we like is in charge, because that's the problem. If anyone wants a great metaphor of white feminism, like, we elected Jimmy Carter and then we did nothing, and he didn't get reelected, and we got Bush and Reagan. Like... That is the beginning of the neoliberal hellscape, Nixon and then Reagan. So, like, if we just think that Trump is the only problem, then we already are letting the problems win.
By no means did I mean he was the only problem. I meant he was the most glaringly obvious bit of pressure that I will just feel just ever so much better when that part's removed. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I feel like, for me, the bigger fish to fry is McConnell.
Ugh.
And if he also gets out, then I will be very happy. But also, Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi still being super friendly with people like Lindsey Graham and the Republicans. People can be like, but we need to be bipartisan all you want. Those two men in particular are fucking evil. And the fact that, like... white women in our government still embrace them like their colleagues just doing a great job and not completely and totally disenfranchising the people of their states every turn they get is a problem to me. I just want AOC to be president. That's what I want. I love her.
We'll try for that the next time. We're getting closer.
She won't be old enough the next time. We gotta wait for, I think, 10 more years.
I can wait. I don't know if I'm patient.
We're Sagittariuses.
No, I know. I just had this conversation the other day. Like, yeah. Anyway, well, that has been political 20 minutes with Cassie over here.
I'm just angry all the time. If anyone else out there is angry and would like to rage, let me know. I'll set up a Discord for the podcast and we can just be angry.
Cassie, you need to set up a just where you rant for like 45 minutes, Politico Witch. 45 minutes, quarter, whatever. And it's got to be like a weekly deal. And they just listen to you rage. And then that's the end.
So
you don't even have to talk with anybody.
Podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go for it. Oh, I'm pretty sure a lot of people that listen to this will be very excited to listen to you go on for a long time.
Oh, God.
Good luck keeping it to 45 minutes when you're mad, though.
Oh, I can't even keep it to 45 days when I'm mad. Oh, what's sad, though, is all of y'all that I know from social media and not in person have never actually seen me get mad. Mark has to live with this.
Hi, Mark. We're sending him thoughts and prayers.
He could use them for all of the things. He has had a very rough summer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. So the other reason we couldn't record is my mother-in-law died very suddenly because of things that would have been preventable if anyone had taken this pandemic seriously. So I get very mad very quickly about
deservedly
everything.
So.
It's like, That's how I feel like everyone feels right now, though. It's just kind of like, there is no more waiting for the other shoe to drop. We just don't know what else we can drop because all of the shoes are gone. We maybe don't have feet anymore. And it's just kind of like,
It's just rain and shit we haven't heard of yet. That's what's happening.
Mega fires and fire tornadoes. I thought I left fucking tornadoes in the goddamn Southeast where they belong.
Yep.
I don't want fire mixed in with this equation.
Like, I can't even... That's the thing. Of this year has felt so long. I cannot even think of all the things that have happened that have just, like, taken the wind out of my... You know what I mean?
Like, I keep looking at my little Wheel of the Year spreads I did, and, like, what I thought everything meant when I was interpreting the cards and shit. And I was like, oh, the tower is showing up 3 times, depending on which, like, deck I used and shit. Because I did it a couple times with different decks just to be like, this is kind of the feel I'm getting. Mm-hmm. But it's like, now I look back at some of the cards and I was like, oh, Temperance. I don't know why I'll need Temperance, like, because I need to learn how to not just use weed all the time, because that's all I've been doing. But we're going to go home for a month. Oh. And there's no weed there.
No weed there. Oh, that was loud.
There's medical weed, but not, like, recreational weed. It's just decriminalized. It's not, like...
anything. The South.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes as I vape more weed.
Hey, it's legal where you are. It's fine.
It's fine. We're recording. And Blaine has already made an appearance, so you can say hi if you want.
Nope, that wasn't Blaine. That was my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
farting in the kitchen.
Her brother-in-law already made an appearance. That's Desiree.
Hi, Desiree.
Hi.
Do you want to say hi in person?
No, I ain't
got no shirt on. Sorry, I just saw him walking.
Ducked under the bed so fast. Oh, my God.
I feel like I know you both so much better now.
Mark is the one who never has clothes on, and I am the one that has way too many layers on because I'm always cold and he's too hot, and there's no happy medium temperature
there's
this apartment.
There's no in between.
Huh? No. He was like, the door's not showing in the video, is it? I was like, no, and he just mooned me.
Okay. We've devolved so much. This has gotten out of control.
It's fine. Oh, it's our episode will be a metaphor for the frustrations that everyone is feeling and what you might have to deal with while trying to work from home with spouses and partners and anything else. He came in here because Jackson was too cute and he couldn't resist rubbing his belly.
Aww.
Because he's on the bed. And I'm like, I feel that. Jackson's very cute. Hi, butter. If you hear heavy breathing on this, I will try to edit it out, but it's Buttercup.
Definitely
sniffing
Cassie.
The microphone. Yeah, just made me like, like mouth breathing like Tina Belcher. let's just leave like 2 seconds of everyone listening, just collectively, we all just go, at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay, well, this episode was supposed to be about...
abundance magic.
Yes. Abundance in all of its many, many forms.
Which, I mean, it's related. I've been doing a lot of abundance magic during the thing. Like, the pandemic thing. I'm just calling it a thing now.
Yeah, I was too. And I feel like sometimes that sort of backfires a little bit when you focus a little too much on one category of magic.
Because there's so many... I feel like for me, it like the way it works is like at first I'll do it and then I'll get like a bunch of reading bookings or I'll get like... a steady stream of things, and then I realize if I tie it too closely into the other things that I'm doing, especially if I'm working with certain, like, energies or deity concepts kind of a thing, then it's, like, too many things, because, like, now I have 15 orders that all came in one day to fill, and I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah.
It's good. I appreciate it. But at the same time, I'm just like... I hate that people have to wait a week for me to ship things because there's so many, like, things happening.
It's really easy to hit the burnout if you're, I mean, like, consistently practicing any sort of money rituals or abundance rituals. Burnout is a huge, huge problem that you have to sort of counter in your shadow work or in your downtime work, like Dark Moon style.
Yeah, that or I've been kind of trying to be much more specific.
Yeah,
now
that helps.
When I do it.
Yeah.
Like
specificity.
yeah, like it's I was just doing, like, little money bowls, or I would just put money on my altar and just kind of, like, here's the thing. And then I realized, like, maybe we should tailor this in to be more specific things that I want. So it's more like, I would like to get 5 bookings this week and putting a solid number on it. Instead of, like, bring me bookings and getting, like, 20 and then being like, oh, fuck, I have to type up all these readings while I'm doing homework and everything else.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think that the biggest, I mean, I want to say that most people who get into witchcraft, the first spells that they try of any sort are either to do with love magic or money magic. Like, two most popular, most common spells. And I feel like people will always warn you about the, you know, you shouldn't do love spells, da-da-da-da. Well, shut the fuck up. It doesn't matter. Do what you want. The same warnings could apply to any sort of magic, because there's a give and take of energy, so you have to make sure you're kind of counteracting that. Like, when, when you're doing money work, one, stuff doesn't come from nothing, right? Has to come from somewhere. So it needs to have, like you said, specifics. It needs to have an outlet. It needs to have a method, like how this money is going to get to you. That's why you always hear people warning, like, oh, you shouldn't wish for $10,000 because then someone will die and you'll get it through their will or something like that. That's a pretty dire example, but it's just trying to, I guess, try to get you to have the method and means for that to come to you. So if you don't have a job, but you're doing all sorts of money magic with no way for it to get to you, then you have, it's going to be like, if it happens, it's going to be chaotic. Yeah. It's probably not going to be the way you want it to. But then if you're going to do it that way, and I'm by no means saying don't do that, because some people prefer that sort of chaos, just open abundance ritual, which is fine. But you should, I completely forgot my point.
I think in that situation, you should be specific and maybe set some boundaries where it's like you're open to it coming to you from multiple sources, but maybe like set some hard and fast rules of like the sources should be connected to what you're actually doing physically. Like for me, magic is 98% shit that you're actually doing in your real life that has nothing to do with witchcraft. And 2% intention and oils and weird shit that you're putting together to kind of formulate this thing in your head. Or, like, it sounds very capitalist to be like, it's like goal setting. But goal setting is a good example, I feel like, for abundance magic. Because it's like, you have this thing you want. You need to have steps in place to get that thing that you want. No matter what those steps look like for you. And then you have to actually do the steps to get it. You know what I mean? You can't just be like, I want money and light a candle and money's gonna appear. You have to be doing things.
Well, that I remember my point now. The caveat to that is if you're gonna do that open abundance chaos sort of work, you have to be really, really open and looking for new ways to get what you want. So if you're just doing it open, you don't have a job, you have to be looking for something and you have to be looking outside of the box. Maybe not a job you would normally look at or normally consider taking, but you have to look for the opportunities that are going to present themselves that maybe you hadn't considered before. And a lot of people aren't really great at looking outside of the box when they're doing money work, because a lot of times that's coming from a place of desperation and it's hard to channel that into an organized, you know, like funnel where to direct your energy if you're desperate. So that's the other half of it, is your mindset is the biggest hurdle to money magic, period.
Really all forms of abundance magic, I feel like, because abundance doesn't just have to mean money. It could be like building a better situation for yourself. It could be you want an abundance of positive feelings. You know what I mean? Like, it could be anything. For me, I feel like using the job example, like, you can do all the spells you want to get a job, But if you're not also actively filling out applications, whether it's online or in person, or driving around your city to see what places might have in-person jobs that they're not posting online, or reaching out to all of your connections, whether that's through LinkedIn or Facebook or just like people you used to know mm-hmm. that you know are in a position to hire people or hear about jobs. Like, it's not just gonna magically appear before you. Like you said, you have to actually be seeking those things for it to come to you. And so for me, with like abundance magic centered around like my shop, it's very much like, okay, if I say I want to get 5 bookings, but I don't put up an Instagram story that says I have slots open, mm-hmm. or I don't post about it on Facebook or tell people in person that I do it, like, no one's gonna fucking know I do readings, and they're not gonna fill up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very much this kind of all kinds of magic, in my opinion, but especially this kind of magic does not work unless you do.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. I think another hurdle is, like, a lot of people, and I found myself in the same situation, feel like you do this abundance work, but you almost feel like you don't deserve the money to come to you mm-hmm. easily. Like, if you're not working hard enough for it, it feels like you don't deserve it. And so kind of without even trying, you're setting yourself up to already fail that because you feel either guilty or you feel like you're not working hard enough or you feel like you're not deserving of whatever it is you're asking for. So that's the other thing that you have to sort of shift the way you think about accepting abundance. Like, you totally deserve it. You deserve all those things, you know? Who's to tell you you don't deserve to have enough money to pay for the things you want? Or you don't deserve to get enough money to go on a vacation or whatever it is you're asking for.
Yeah, and I think it also plays into, like, your idea of what work is. I think, too, because, like you said, people need to be looking for, like, all options
mm-hmm.
of this money coming to you. But in the same token, you have to realize that, like, if you're putting labor and intention into something, that is doing fucking work. You know what I mean? And so it might be that the money is coming to you because you set up a Patreon or you're streaming video games or you're making an OnlyFans, or you're
what is doing that? I keep seeing that pop up, okay, but so I don't know what it is.
OnlyFans is a safe way to do camera-oriented sex work.
Oh.
So it might be making actual pornography videos with another person or your partner. It might be masturbation videos. It might be pictures of your feet. It might be like anything is acceptable as far as I know on that platform.
Huh.
But it's almost like a Patreon for sex work.
Interesting.
Because especially right now, sex work is even more unsafe to be doing in person because there's a fucking pandemic, right?
Right.
And having sex or performing sex acts with a mask on is kind of hard, if not impossible, depending on what you're interested in. So OnlyFans kind of blew up, but then there was this actress, Bella Thorne, who
I remember reading your thing about it, yeah.
Yeah, she made an OnlyFans. A bunch of people followed her, and then she said she was going to post, like, nude videos of herself or something. And so people, like, paid millions of dollars to her. And then what she posted was, like, implied nudity. It wasn't even what she said she was going to post, which is how your account gets flagged by OnlyFans to begin with. But it also is how they get refunds. So mm-hmm. then people asked for millions of dollars in refunds, which, of course, the company probably didn't have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused a whole bunch of problems mm-hmm. for people who this is their only job instead of, like, an actress trying to research with the biggest air quotes possible sex work for a film role. That's what she said she was doing.
Ew.
And that she was trying to bring attention to the plight of sex workers. I'm like, by not being all sex workers feel oppressed.
Like,
well, right? Like, like, not all of them feel oppressed. For a lot of people, that might be a very empowering occupation. You know what I mean? Like, it just implies that everyone who's doing it is super desperate for money and mm-hmm. they would do something else if they could, and that's not necessarily the case, because, like, you could make shit tons more money doing that. than a lot of jobs.
Right.
So, yeah. However you're making the money, like, it, I feel like a lot of people, especially since we have what we call the gig economy, where it's like, you might be driving for Uber, you might be making an OnlyFans, you might be, like, selling shit on Instagram or Etsy, and a lot of people feel like that's not a real job, and so that it doesn't count somehow, and that you shouldn't be as successful as you might be able to be because you're not doing a real job. So I feel like you got to get over that mindset, too, a little bit.
I agree. I also think that, for me personally, the simplest, like, spells or rituals are the ones that work the best. I think the more I add to it, for me, kind of takes away from, I guess, the direction, if that makes sense. Like, I have to get specific with mine, but not so specific that there's no room for surprises.
Yes.
Good surprises.
I feel like the specifics that I get with it are usually, like, more, like, on the amount of things coming in at a time more than the overall thing that I'm doing, just to prevent burnout, but also to make sure that I can actually meet the obligations that that brings with it. Because most of my abundance work is about, like, selling bars of soap or doing tarot readings. And so, like, if I get too many orders and I can't fill them all in a timely manner, like, that doesn't look good for the shop, you know? So it's, like, stuff like that. I don't know if I really set any, like, I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone trying to do so specific, like, that there's no room for anything to actually appear, but I suppose you could.
Oh, I absolutely think so. I have. It's mostly people who I think maybe are, and I should never say this, but maybe working rituals for the wrong reasons. I don't like to judge people like that. Like, you can do whatever you want. I'm not one of the people that thinks it's going to bounce back on you. You know, it's like, it's whatever. Everybody does whatever. That's what all I'm going to say. But I do think that when you have unrealistic expectations, you kind of set yourself up to fail as well. So keep it realistic, keep it simple, keep the mindset as much as you can do to stay out of that desperate, like, I am going to die if I don't get money, you know, anxious sort of feeling. You have to try to, and I mean, it's hard, which is why I think money magic is actually difficult for a lot of people. It's, especially if you're in that dire situation, it's very hard to get yourself out of it enough to sort of get the abundance flowing. Just, you know what I mean? Like, there are tons of people that I think would have a really hard time with that unless they had help. And also,
yeah,
money inspires money. It helps if you have a little trickle of money coming in to start making money. And that's also another problem people probably have, is if they don't have anything coming in, how can they get that to multiply?
Yeah. Or, like, how can you stop focusing on the lacking mentality enough to really feel like you can do this thing that you're trying to accomplish? Which, for me, I feel like a lot of it comes down to whether you have rich people, middle class, or poor people brain, like what you grew up with, because poverty fucks with you in so many fucking ways. But so does that keeping up with the Joneses mentality that a lot of middle class people get, which is how the middle class ends up, like, making a significant amount of money, but it's never enough to cover their actual bills, even if their bills are within a range that it should be able to cover those, because you're just constantly feeling like you don't have enough or you're not stable enough, especially in the U.S. I feel like this is a very common problem, but with having a poverty brain, like, that may stem from literally not having enough food to eat. You know what I mean? Like, it can be very serious situations, and it fucks with your brain chemistry. And when you try to get out of it, you're going to have a lot of other triggers and traumas that you might have to get over with, like, a trained professional instead of just doing witchcraft or shadow work. And well, that
may not have money for that. May not have access to that. So I actually, unfortunately, it's almost like a privilege to be able to have the resources to get yourself out of that mindset. And so I would hope that, you know, with all the free information out there now that can be shared, you can try to start working towards that. And it's very hard. We were pretty poor when I was young, but then when I hit like middle school, high school, my mom got married and, you know, after I moved out, cause I'm older than my siblings, the money was not an issue anymore, but I can see it in both myself and my mother that it was, very hard. Like my mom, and she'll never admit this, everyone else knows, still hoards food. She has a very good job. She has like one with a pension. They have my stepdad just retired. Like they're fine on money. She still hoards food past the expiration dates, to the point where there's just like piles and I mean, they're organized. She's not like that kind of hoarder, but, it's, you definitely can still see that mindset because she had nothing when she was a kid. And she never wants anyone to be hungry ever. Like, literally ever. You walk in her house and she's like, do you need a pepperoni stick? Do you need some crackers? Like, she's like pulling stuff out of her closet, under her bed, out of the garage, out of the attic. Like, it's to the point where we've had to cut her off from stuff because she'll just, she'll keep it forever.
Yeah. Specifically. My granddad, and I've noticed it with other people who have depression era grandparents, especially. Mm-hmm. Goes insane with canning. He grows his own vegetable garden and stuff, and he'll can everything that my parents need. He'll can everything that he needs. Mm-hmm. He donates to the food bank. He, like, drops it off for shut-ins at church and stuff like that, and it's like he still has way too much extra. And it's like, it's not even like he's buying too much at the store. It's like he literally grew too much because they grew up with, like, no options.
Did you send me a text?
It's dark now, so you have to come in, okay?
Huh?
It's dark now, so you have to come in, okay? You can come out tomorrow.
Can I have a...
What?
Huh? Oh, I'm hungry.
Okay, get one out of the fridge. Sorry.
You can.
Yeah, so poverty mindset. I'm trying to think of cheaper... I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Access to sort of training for that. What's that lady? I think you just listened to the book on Audible and I read it and now I'm blanking on her name.
Oh, Existential Kink.
She gives a lot. No, I'm not talking about that book at all. That's kind of going the opposite direction. Though I do like some of the stuff she puts out.
I like some of it. There are pieces of it that I think are massively problematic.
I haven't finished the book, I'll be honest. That's been low on my stack. But she actually, and more interesting, I think you might find more interesting, is she puts out a free email one for this program called Wealth that she does. And that actually has way more like chunks of good, interesting information on money mindset and that sort of thing. And that's free. So I would say those are the sort of things you want to look for. I'm trying to think. I think Joanna DeVoe has a couple really good episodes on, like, law of attraction and poverty mindset and stuff like that are free and really helpful.
There are money-specific podcasts also that help you learn how to manage things because we also, like, I feel like people expect parents to have taught kids how to do all of this stuff, but the parents don't necessarily know how to do it either. And we don't learn it in high school, like, actual functioning things. Mm-hmm. But the podcast Bad with Money by Gabby Dunn, I think she has a book coming out, too. She just, like, breaks down super specific things sometimes. That's actually where I first learned, like, poverty brain versus rich people brain and how you navigate a relationship where the two or more people involved are the opposite ends of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But she also, like, has an episode where she calls about her car payment and, like, learns all of the things about what happens if you don't pay your car loan off in the allotted first time or how you refinance and, like, basic things like that that might be really intimidating for people. And for me, it was nice to hear that it is intimidating to other people too, and it's not just me being like a bad adult.
No, that stuff's terrifying.
Yeah. And she like goes through with it. She also interviews other people. So like she did an interview with a person whose parent had passed and they had to take on all their bills.
Mm-hmm.
To pay them off, because certain bills you still have to pay even if you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically,
they don't teach you about that. We're gonna be dealing with that. That's
ironically the one bill that they didn't have to pay was the AT&T credit card bill. The person called AT&T and was like, "Hi, my parent died," and they're like, "Oh, don't worry about this. We'll just close out the account. We'll take care of everything for you." Didn't have to pay anything that they owed.
That's nice.
And I was like, of all of the companies, I did not expect AT&T to be the nice one, but all right.
It's probably per person. Like, I bet it's different if you'd gotten a different... Because I have sat on hold with AT&T, and they are not nice people.
Yeah.
I think it's like a person-to-person sort of thing.
Probably. But it's just... It's interesting to me, like, all of the things that you don't think of that actually go into money shit that, like, you wouldn't even get taught unless you took accounting or business classes in undergrad or high school,
mm-hmm.
which not even all high schools or undergrad programs offer that as an option,
mm-hmm.
unless you're a business major. And so it's like finding little things like that, and she links all of her resources in the show notes for that podcast, can be really helpful in just like educating yourself on what you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
I think. The other one would be stuff like Talkspace and BetterHelp. The subscriptions are much cheaper than, like, an actual traditional therapy visit. And people there are registered, licensed counselors. Like, they have to have a license to offer their services on the site. So that might be a financially easier option. They also have 30-day free trials.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if you're in a real desperate situation and you need to talk to somebody, like, that's an option. I'm trying to think. Are there any, like, methods or tools that are, like, your go-to, like, spell-wise, or is there specific things you add to all of your abundance work? Or anything like that?
I do, so, like, I have an abundance candle that I put out, and that has, I try to stick with things that are sort of rich, like opulent scents to sort of get that feeling. Resins like frankincense and myrrh, I've just like been historically a very, it's a rich thing. That's why they gave it to the baby Jesus. But
because they take a long time to make.
I did not know that. I should know that. Frankincense and myrrh?
Well, like,
you're scraping trees.
Well, you have to scrape the trees and then treat it and cure it so that it's preserved. So it, like, a lot can go into it, I feel like. That's why it costs so much. It's the same with, like, saffron, because it's so rare and, like, the preparation for the mm-hmm. spice takes so long. That's why it costs so much.
Saffron's a good one, too, actually. So, like, I do the frankincense and myrrh. Fig and rhubarb. I like rhubarb just because it's, to me, that's a very personal thing. Represents sort of a comforting abundance. Like it was a home thing, you know? I don't know. Not everybody mm-hmm. likes rhubarb. But fig is a very rich, it just in like visualization for me. But I also like to add on something to what I call like an accelerator. So for me, that's what I add the ashwagandha powder for. Because it's supposed mm-hmm. to make it quicker. You can use chili pepper, anything with sort of that, like, kick into action. Some people use different kinds of vinegars and stuff, and I think that's fine, too. But really, or ginger, anything that's going to give you, like, a little bit of fire to accelerate your need, I think is good. The basic ones that I see float around most often are, like, bay leaves. And I use, mm-hmm. that's sort of like a spell for anything is a bay leaf and a tea light. You know, you write what you want on there, burn the bay leaf, burn the tea light, that's it. It's the simplest spell in the world for anything. But you can also do cinnamon and clove, because for some reason those are always associated with abundance. Or mint, spearmint, catnip, that kind of stuff. Those are all really easy to get. You can buy a cinnamon at the dollar store. They have big sticks there. But, so any sort of rich scent that I think really any scent that makes you feel fancy is going to do it. And that might be different for each person.
Yeah, like for the money soaps that I made, I did cinnamon, like I ground up a cinnamon stick, which I should have just used pre-ground cinnamon because it's fucking hard to chop up like cinnamon sticks. They're very, very hard. I was surprised. A cinnamon stick, cactus flower oil, because I wanted it to be more like long-term kind of growth, and where the cactus like holds the water in to keep itself alive, like that kind of savings mindset is where I went with it.
I like that.
Cinnamon oil, basil oil, and
basil was the other one. Yep.
Yeah. What else did I put in that? I'm just gonna look it up. That's easier than trying to remember at this point because my brain.
I like to do poppy seeds because I like to add an element of good luck to whatever I'm doing. I always feel like,
oh, I like that.
Luck doesn't hurt.
Never hurts. In my opinion, anyway. let's see. Money soap. What did I put in this? Rolled sage, cinnamon stick, bay leaves, and basil. And then I added patchouli, cinnamon, sandalwood, cactus flower, green tea, and honeysuckle oils.
Yeah, those are all very rich, perfumey scents. And then any sort of green or gold crystals, of course, that's the easy. Color associations are really going to be your ally in any sort of spell visually. Like, you can make up any spell you want as long as you tend to stick with the colors that mean the associations for you. So.
And you can also, like, if you don't have the ability to go buy a bunch of shit, and you have a couple of pennies or a couple of quarters, like, if you just have change lying around your house, you can just put change or dollar bills on your altar directly as a way to kind of bring it in and, like, associate some of the other work that you're doing with it. And I feel like that's a really easy kind of, like, set it and forget it method of just, like, put a couple coins in there, say something like, hi, I need more of this, and then you're done.
Yeah, that's a good one. I also think that an important step that gets overlooked is the sort of paying it forward portion, or like almost feeling like you have to give something to receive it later. And I'm not talking about just money, but like whether it's doing a favor for somebody or helping somebody out for something, you're going to see these opportunities present themselves. And what better way to sort of bring it around than to help someone else if you can? For me, it doesn't feel like it's been completed until I've done something like that. So whether it's donating something to charity or helping somebody or, you know, making a sandwich for bringing it over to my mom, or not like she'd eat my sandwiches, but, you know, just for me, that's an important part to me personally, is being able to sort of share in what you want to receive.
Yeah, I feel like witchcraft and in bigger terms, like, this idea of social ties and reciprocity and mutual aid, like, all of it is designed to function within a system of, like, basic humanity, and, like, nothing exists within a vacuum. So just, like, nothing is coming to you from nowhere. The physical things that you're doing for it, whether it's, like, I'm trying to find a new job, so I'm gonna fill out applications, or like I need to keep this job, so I'm gonna show up early and do some extra things at work so that I get noticed and like I'm a valuable employee, that kind of thing. Or donating and like putting charitable work out there, like it can't come from nowhere. And if you are the person that's like putting that energy out there to help other people, then I think that might be where it's coming from, because they're going to remember that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It might not be immediate, but somewhere down the line, like, people will be able to pay you back somehow. It might not be the way you expect or even a way that you notice, but usually it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Unless people are just assholes.
I also think it puts you in a sort of grateful mindset so mm-hmm. that you're open to receiving anything that comes your way, not even if it's not specifically what you asked for. But it's hard to receive things if you're not grateful for things, which is something I struggled with because I was, you know, doing things on my own for a while, and I was earning these things for myself, but I couldn't be grateful to myself for earning them because I was very like, well, you should be working harder, and yes, you need to, you know what I mean? There was no, like, gratefulness for how much I had carried myself already. There was only sort of like a, well, of course, now you just need to work harder. So that's another, you have to change that and be grateful, even if it's not to yourself, to however you're getting whatever it is, just being thankful. And it's hard, especially when things are shitty.
Well, there's a way, it's saying, like, I feel like everything with abundance magic is real easy to fucking say and really fucking hard to do. Mm-hmm. But one easy thing you can do that is gonna feel really dumb at first, like it's gonna feel pointless, is to pick just one good thing that day that happened. And so for like 2 weeks, you just have to pick one good thing every day. Your one good thing could be literally as basic as I'm still alive. Like, it can be that. It's fine. After 2 weeks, you have to do two things every day. And you have to acknowledge them at some point by either writing them down or saying it out loud by the end of the day every day. And then after two more weeks, you do three things. And you just keep building up your list of good things until you start forcing yourself to realize that, like, I do actually have some things.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be a lot of things. And if you're one of those people who, like, compares yourself a lot, that might be a thing you need to start noticing when you do it and stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just going to make your anxiety worse. But, like, it also puts something at stake for you. And you might be one of those people who's like, but literally everything is at stake already. And, like, I get it. But it gives you a concrete thing to hold on to as, like, that is your good thing or mm-hmm. good things, you know? It's more than just things that are at stake. It's things that you can appreciate and look back on when shit is hitting the fan to kind of hold yourself in that center and keep moving forward instead of letting yourself get beaten down and discouraged to the point that you give up, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would also say if you're depressed or, you know, you're really upset, that I recommend against doing any sort of abundance magic until you've taken care of your emotional needs. And not for any weird reason. It's just that you're going to have a really hard time getting yourself in the mindset to accept things if you haven't taken care of yourself, you know, mentally or spiritually, whatever.
Yes. Well, I think just like money, like we said, money kind of brings in more money. Like, mental abundance is going to bring in physical and spiritual abundance. Like, mm-hmm. your mindset really, really, really matters in the two types of work we have mentioned, which are like abundance and love spells. Like, your mindset, and if your spell work may involve other people, then it needs consent. That's all I would say. Because there is abundance magic that could be, like, bringing in abundance in a family dynamic situation. And I still feel like you probably need everyone involved to be aware that it's happening.
I think that's the polite thing, but I would not say that I feel like it's necessary. Like, I would do it because I'm polite. But far be it for me to tell anybody else how to do their shit. Like,
I don't know. I feel like with love spells, just because there's like a bending the will issue.
Well, kind but of then you go into, can you actually bend someone's will if there's no intent there? It starts devolving very quickly, which is why I just say, like, honestly, if I could go back and tell myself, you know, when I first started, like, just don't. That guy's a fucking douche. Okay, you don't need to, you know what I mean? Like, just, I want to tell myself, totally unnecessary. You give yourself 3 months and you will see why you didn't have to put yourself through all of this. You know?
Yeah, I feel like if you're in a situation that feels like the relationship is so strenuous or not going to happen if you don't do magic to fix it, that's not a good situation, and you probably don't want that to continue.
Right.
If it's a love spell because you're like, they're not going to notice me without it, like, you don't need a love spell. You need a self-confidence spell.
You need a self-love spell. Yeah.
So that you can just go up and say hi to this person. Because, like, you don't need all this extra shit, and it's just going to stress you out more.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm just saying, I don't think it's absolute. I am not under the rule that you have to ask someone's permission. Like, you can.
Oh, see, I don't want permission. Like, which I feel like consent and asking permission get conflated a little bit. I think when I say consent in a this sort of way, I feel like the other person needs to know that this is a thing that you do. Because if you're going to be in a very close relationship with someone, they probably should know that this is your practice.
Right. Well, anyways, when you say consent, I mean, where is the line on that? Is it, like, if you've done a freezer spell to get someone to chill out, do you have to call and tell them, hey, I'm going to do this freezer spell on you
to make you stop being an asshole? Hexing, and I don't do them because if I'm already at a point where I need to do a freezer spell for you, I'm going to be doing some other shit. like not talking to you ever. You know what I mean?
Assuming that's an option. I guess that's it's good to see that we fall on sort of
different spectrums.
Little sides of the hill, like not totally far apart. I don't do, for the most part, things that involve other people. Just because I don't think it's polite. I don't know why that matters so much to me. It shouldn't. But I also don't think I would never tell anybody not to do any of those things that involve other people because
I wouldn't tell them not to. I think it also comes down to, like, what your understanding of what you're doing is. Because, like you said, like, it comes down to, can you actually bend someone's will? There are people who practice magic who believe that you can.
Yeah.
And if your belief system is that you can change another person's will, then yes, you have to get their permission. Because that's some shady shit. I'm sorry. It's some shady shit if you personally believe you can change someone else's will and then you try to do it. If you're a person who thinks that your spell work is not really gonna do anything to another person, that it's more there to help you. So, like, a lot of people view hexing as more cathartic for you, the person performing the hex, or like a cord cutting spell gives you a mental visualization of you blocking that person off instead of just hitting a block button on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, to me, those situations are less of a consent thing. But if you are someone who literally thinks you can force someone to do a thing you want to do, or you want them to do, when they don't necessarily want to do it themselves, that's a coercion thing to me. You know what I mean? And coercion is where I draw the line. Because there's all these other ways that that happens outside of magic. Like, you could be someone who may not be in a physically abusive relationship, but you could be in a situation where you're being manipulated or you're being coercively controlled, which you might not recognize as abuse, but the government definitely does and would allow you to press charges if you wanted to. And for me, like, it doesn't matter if you're doing it because you really like the person and you love them and you want things to be better, or because you're a dick, like, someone in that type of relationship, like, neither the act itself is not a good thing to do if you're trying to force someone to do something that they maybe don't want to. You know what I mean?
Yes, and I agree with parts of that, but I also think that this is exactly why we should be learning and teaching protection You know what I mean? Like if
no,
you're
that's fair.
If you're not protecting yourself, I have issue with that, and specifically because I myself have neglected that portion of my own studies for a long time. So I kind of feel like, you know, I deserved what I got because I wasn't prepared. I was not focusing on protection. I was focusing on other things. So yes and no.
But you're the one who got it. You know what I mean? Like you just said, you deserved what you got. But if you're involving another person.
No, I'm saying from
in the
other
way
people.
That I'm. Oh.
I was just like giving a hypothetical. No, like I get what you're saying. And yes, I don't like the coercion part of it. But because I don't want to limit the sort of practices I do, and I have not put myself in all of those singular scenarios to see exactly how I feel, I'm not comfortable giving a hard line yes or no of how I feel about that. Like, I kind of want to think about it a little more. Because for me,
I feel like,
yes, you can do spells without people's permission, but I also think that it limits the amount of what you can do, because I really think that there's only so much your will can do to another person, an average person. Now I'm counting out some of the, the systems that I'm not as familiar with like voodoo and where they're actively, that's like part of what they believe. And I get that. I am not putting myself in that position. So I have to like sit and think about it kind of top to bottom. That makes sense.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Like, if you're, like, your belief system would not fall into what I'm talking about then. Because what I mean is, like, if you literally believe that you could control someone into falling in love with you, with all of the social obligations and emotional attachment feelings and everything that goes into that, like, one day they don't know you exist and the next day they're obsessed with you as a stereotype love spell scenario, that is not okay with me. Like, you know what I mean? But that also involves a belief system that you literally believe what you're doing is going to do that to a person, which is an actual extremely small percentage of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we talk about stuff like this and we make the blanket thing of like, no one should do love spells of any type ever, it erases a lot of the, like, actual thinking through work that you're talking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As in the idea of, like, no one does that, where it's, like, that's usually what people are doing if they are doing a love spell or a spell to bring in a new relationship or something. Like, it's not someone thinking they're gonna force a person to do something. But there's that little section of people, no matter what, that always think that that's what they're doing, and that's the part I have problems with. Not the usual stuff, I feel like. But there are people who I think lump all of that into just love spells, and that's not what it is either, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think that my problem is that I'm finding myself feeling like, well, if that person is that ill-prepared to be swayed by that, then, like, I almost don't feel sorry for them. And I feel like maybe that's a personality flaw that I need to work on, is that I'm, like, a little too harsh on these people. So I think I really want to dig into that in myself. You just pulled up some shadow work for me, Cassie. Thanks a lot. Like, I'm kind of a bitch about
me,
it, man.
Like, I feel like the person doing the spell deserves whatever fucking happens to them, if that's their mindset. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost that, like, Christian proselytizing mindset a little bit, which I also feel like if people tell them no and their feelings get hurt, they deserve it. But, like, I feel bad for the object of the spell. Like, the person who becomes...
That's what I'm saying, is that sounds like I maybe don't. Like,
well, I feel like you're, like, we're talking about two different levels of belief.
Probably.
Because for me, it doesn't have anything to do with the person being swayed by the spell. Like, their belief system isn't what I'm worried about. It's the person doing the spell. Because if you are willing to do a spell that you feel like would force another person potentially against their will, to be magically in love with you, you have some problems. I don't think that type of spell would ever actually work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that there is an actual person who would suddenly magically be in love with the spell-casting person. I just think if you're willing to go to that significant a divergence from what I feel like is realistically possible, then that is kind of a sign that you might need to address some other things about your life and belief system than just the fact that you're doing a love spell to coerce a person into a relationship. If that makes more sense.
No, I get what you're saying. I think what I feel is that... it sounds weird when I say it out loud.
Like, if the spell actually worked, you wouldn't feel bad for the person who's in love?
I would feel bad for both of them. I guess...
Well, see, then that's not a problem.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, I feel like anybody who is willing to do any sort of outrageous spell work, whatever it is, if you are willing to take whatever the consequences are energetically or otherwise, then I guess I'm, like, I am not going to stand in that person's way, if that makes sense. I'm more of, like, a neutral, like, if you can do it and you are ready for whatever comes your way after that on both sides, then I, you know, who am I to say anything, I guess?
Well, the problem for me is if you can say you're ready to take all of those consequences all you want, but because you're involving another person, you're not the only one taking those consequences. The other person is very much not willing to take on those consequences because they don't fucking know about them unless you got their consent.
Yes.
That's my issue.
I'm getting the issue. I'm getting it. Like I said, I feel like I need to sort of work this out through myself because I'm very, like, neutral, chaotic, just, like, letting people go do higgledy-piggledy whatever they want and maybe
But you
that's...
wouldn't let people, like, I feel like you're saying that, but at the same time, if we took this out of a magical situation and, like...
If you made it about somebody I cared about, yeah, probably I would have a different opinion.
Well, not even someone you cared about. Like, you don't want anybody to be in a situation where their consent is taken away for sexual activity, for example. You don't have to know them to know that you don't want that to happen to them.
Right. I agree with that. Which
this
is why
basically
we teach protect... No, I'm saying magically speaking, not sexually speaking. Magically speaking, protection. Like,
but not everyone is a witch. So
that's
not
okay. We can change
be...
that. No, I get what you're saying. And you're right. If you put it into more personal terms like that, then yes, deep down, I probably do have a problem with it. But I do need to, like, I feel like I'm too ambiguous in my answer, and it's not good. I need to sit and get to the bottom of this. I have questionable morals, perhaps. Like,
I feel like it's also, like, when we extrapolate it to the extreme that I did just to make a point, like,
when you put
some
it in
weird
terms
things
of sexual
are happening.
Assault, I immediately have an issue. But when you're talking about it in terms of magic, I'm like, yeah, whatever. They should have had their defenses up, you know? And so to me, that is an issue. I need to talk to myself or something. I'm not sure how I need to get through that, but that's, I got a lot to think about tonight. That's
I also like how we turned from, like, a abundance spell to, like, a moratorium on love spell.
Yeah. I think what's really happening is that I am defending 16-year-old Desiree's actions that turned out terribly. Like, I think I'm probably still a little butthurt about whatever happened back then, and I just haven't come to terms with it. So by the time we record the next episode, I'll probably be fine.
So in, like, 5 minutes?
Yes. I need to... We'll circle back around for that one.
Yeah, or we could do it a different day. There will be a Samhain or Samhain. I like to say Samhain on purpose because there are...
Because you watch people just do the...
No. There are Celtic and traditionally Gaelic That doesn't mean just Irish Gaelic. This is a tradition that exists outside of Ireland. Speaking communities that pronounce it Samhain in the Gaelic. And because it's one of those gatekeeper holidays where everyone's like, it's Samhain. I like throwing that back in people's faces because I've taken linguistics classes and I know how to speak it.
I think it should just be called All Hallows Eve. I like that one.
See, All Hallows Eve, though, implies that you're Catholic and you will then be celebrating All Saints and All Souls.
Spookier.
And I will not be celebrating those two things. I will be putting out offerings for those two things because I have an ancestor at altar and a lot of my ancestors are Catholic because we're hella fucking Portuguese. But, and Roma, which is like the two sides of the Catholic colonial coin there.
I was going to say, it's a lot of... Sounds like you should be hanging out with Catholic saints and...
Well, everyone in my family on my dad's side was Catholic until my grandpa married my grandma, because she was Baptist and he was Catholic, and they didn't want to fight about church, so they just didn't go.
That makes sense. I can see that.
And then my dad ended up being a Pentecostal minister for a while, which is a very strange hard left turn.
Was there snakes?
No, that's Pentecostal holiness, which is another level.
Oh, snakes. Okay. You're so cool. I like you anyway.
And then we were Church of Christ for a long time, which we all know how I felt about that.
It sounds like an eventful upbringing.
It does it.
My grandma was a Catholic nun.
Oh, that's fun. How did she end up being a grandma then?
She wasn't my actual grandma. She never had any actual kids, but she did get married. She left the nunnery to get married. And it was weird. I had a glow-in-the-dark crucifix in my bedroom for a long time when I was a kid, and it used to scare the shit out of me.
That would freak me the fuck out,
It was very scary, yes. Anyway.
A Samhain episode will be happening.
Sometime before, hopefully.
Yeah. We could do this. We made this one happen.
Yes, finally. And hopefully it'll be a little more often than once every 4, 5, 6 months? 7 months.
You know, we're moving through in a sporadic sense because the world is chaos. And we're just going to do it when we feel a need and we have time. And I feel like, especially during a pandemic, literally everyone who listens understands
that. Yeah. No, I'll make time. I'm terrible. I can't give myself a hard date or then I'm like, no, I don't want to. It's like when I told you, when I said, hey, we got to record. And you're like, we can do what we want. Like,
this is the way that listener feedback gets incorporated into our show. There are two ways that this happens. The first one is y'all are lovely, lovely listeners, and you say something nice, and we get excited, and then Desiree feels super obligated to, like, oh my god, we have to be doing all of the content! And I'm just like, they like what we already do. Or someone is a dick, and then you have to deal with me, which is not good for you. So don't be a dick, like we say at the end of the show. But also, you make Desiree feel really bad, and then I get even madder, because she feels obligated. And so when people have negative feedback, Desiree, like, internalizes it. And I just get mad and ragey, and I'll say these off-the-wall things.
We have two opposite sides of the Sagittarius spectrum here. I think it's the Cancer. The Cancer in the chart, where I'm like,
it is most definitively not the sun signs. It is the moon signs, because I am a Gemini, and my switch just goes, no, I hate you.
Anyway, yes, we are hoping to try to keep this more regular, but I'm not going to promise anything, because Cassie's making the face. And you get no guarantees from us, except for that there will be a Samhain episode before Samhain, maybe, if you're lucky.
I mean, worst comes to worst, we can record it tomorrow or Monday.
No dates. Don't talk about dates. Anyway. All right. See if I even remember how to close this. Don't be a dick.
I do. Yes.
You want to do it?
Eat your vegetables if you like them.
No, which is not even just if you only like them. You should just eat them anyway.
Dan, we have some episodes coming out that we did record with a friend named Dan over the pandemic that I just haven't edited because it was like 4 hours long.
I was totally surprised to hear that you guys went on too long about your awesome history nerd stuff. I'm super jealous. I can't wait to hear it.
We have a solid hour long, at least, rant about ancient aliens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you think that your Ghost Adventures rants are bad, you will never feel bad about them again when you hear how Dan and I got enraged at ancient aliens.
Well, I hope we get those up soon, then. I'm excited to hear them.
Yeah, it's basically don't put two archaeologists together and then ask them about ancient aliens, because this is what you're gonna get.
I feel like that's its own show right there. But Cassie only has so much time for podcasts, so.
I wish I had more time for podcasts and less time for school.
Sounds like a you decision, pal.
I mean, I need to pass because I have a sunken cost problem in this PhD.
This is where coercive witchcraft would come in handy, now wouldn't it? You could just be like, I'm going to do some spells, make this guy pass me, even though I'm not turning anything in.
I might be writing a paper about witchcraft.
Which is sort of like a spell.
Yeah, well, it's. I'm hoping it's kind of a spell, because I'm going to be talking about the witchcraft metaphor in anthropology, which I know we do have some anthropologists who listen, so y'all know what I'm talking about, but basically what happens is when anthropologists go study a thing, no matter what subfield they're in, and they find that thing to be cool, they try to make it... The goal of our discipline is called... making the strange familiar and the familiar strange. So if you're trying to, like, describe things about your own community that people take for granted in a really weird way to make people notice them, or you're trying to describe weird things from another group in a familiar way to people back home so that they'll understand what you're talking about. And one of the ways we do this way too often is by turning everything into a witchcraft metaphor. So, like, things become, like... the essences of this culture, and you can take these essences and craft them into other things, basically like the Philosopher's Stone myth, kind of an idea, like an alchemical thing happening. One way that we continue to do this is by comparing scientific things to cultural and religious witchcraft things that are traditionally done by communities of color, which, as you can imagine, further marginalizes the community of color that it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But it also further reinforces, like, this is not a thing that civilized people do. And that reinforcement is a problem. So that's what I'm going to hopefully write about.
Yeah, well, I'm already persuaded, so I think it must work.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to wrap it up. Because I have to pee really bad. Okay. Don't be a dick. Eat your vegetables, especially if you don't like them. And stay hydrated and make some magic.
Woo!
Bye!